Well, good morning, everyone. How's everybody? How's all the campers doing? Day three. Who's you got some fresh faces? Came up for the day, feeling good. Nice drive. And who all was here the past 3 days? All right, put your hands down. It stinks. Don't do that anymore. Well, my name is Kelly Gustafson, and actually, this is my first time for all 3 days at family camp. We've always just used to come up for the day. My wife, Morgan, she grew up coming to camp and hung out for the camp experience. But how incredible it is to be with everybody and hang out and have great conversations and just be together in fellowship that you see people at church every Sunday. But to hang out with them and have meals and play games, it's a whole nother experience. So it's pretty incredible. And I really can't wait for next year. So it's been amazing. And I learned a lot about people too. You know, I learned that the Coonfield girls are amazing at tossing eggs. That's really good. Champions there. And Josh Smith, where's Josh Smith? There he is. He has an incredible slide splash technique that will spray about 40 feet. So it's really great to know about him that now. So yeah, like I said, I'm just really, what? Oh. Says the second place people. Yeah, they didn't cheat. Yeah. First losers. Yeah. Now, so I'm reading Psalm 133. And when Mark asked us to go over the Psalms and pick the one that kind of connected with us and what we kind of felt that we could read and felt, you know, like I said, connection, it's, I didn't choose it on. If you look at 133, it's probably the shortest one. And no, I didn't choose it for that reason. So it was just, I was reading over them, and they're actually kind of hard to pick because they're all so great. They have a really great message and this really uplifting and joyous. And, I've never really looked at the Songs of Ascent, the way I study for this. You know, I've seen that word, but I didn't really understand what it meant and what the reason why they would, sing it and say that. So, which by the way, with all the readers, I was pretty disappointed that no one actually sung one of the Songs of Ascent. I know Sean played it. He played it. So you saved it last night by doing that. But I was really disappointed. I thought there was going to see some chanting and some ancient Hebrews going on in here. So my mouth actually hurts from a bunch of Cheerios that I had last night. And I can't really sing right now. So yeah. But it's been really great to see the way that everybody is taught and what they've read and how it's connected with them personally. So it's just really been great to see that and see all these Psalms being read and just how God weaves all throughout Scripture. Now, Psalm 133 was attributed to David. And like Matt explained yesterday, it was written as a poem. And I did notice that you said that you don't like poems too much, but you know a lot about poems and haikus and the verb. Oh. Oh, I thought you said that you didn't like them. Okay, I must have been not listening. So anyways, that's a reason why. You do love them, so that's why you knew so much about them. Perfect, I love it. So they are sung in cantillation form, and it's a more form of musical chanting of Scripture. And they would have sung on their way to pilgrimage to Jerusalem about three times a year. And how we've talked about over the past few days, and Mark explained, is really cool that how Jerusalem was in an elevation is a bit higher than the valley down below. And it was kind of like ascending up. It's the same elevation as Mount Meadow. So it'd be like if we all gathered in Holiday Market and got all together and then hiked our way up, singing songs up to Mount Meadow's camp. And I thought it was a really cool visualization. And maybe one year we should try it. I don't know. Get some packs of mules and some horses. Yeah. You lead it, Mark. We'll do it. Yeah, you'll drive, yeah. I also notice how they all have a real joyous and worshiping, praising tone to them. And I imagine, especially on maybe on the last leg of the journey, that they're all just so excited to be close to the holy Jerusalem and getting close to the last little peak. And it's just really cool to see the tone and the attitude of the people. And I just imagined it. And then also this morning, since it's the last day, and I was wondering, I was like, do they have songs of descent when they went back down the mountain? I was wondering that because I don't know if it's sad because they're leaving or happy because they're going to go back home and go be in their own bed for a little bit. So, okay, so let's go ahead and read Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Mount Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So there's three verses in that, but you can kind of break it down into about 4 points. So the first verse is how good it is when God's people live together in unity. And we know from church every Sunday that, I mean, everybody's favorite part is fellowship. You get to see and talk to everybody. You get to live in unity. You got to talk to people and come together as a church. And I also thought first as a parent, I thought about my kids. So, you know, who has kids, multiple kids that are parents? And when the kids are not getting along and they're fighting and they're kicking and, you know, he touched my leg, he moved my stuff. And it's just a chaos in the household. And it's, you know, you get short-tempered and angry. And then on the flip side of that, when you can watch your kids and they're getting along and they're playing and laughing and just having so much fun and joy, how peaceful it is as a parent that you can just sit there and just feel calm over you. And that was kind of the first thing that popped into my mind. And then as a church, I see, you see how different sects of, you know, churches and communities, when believers fight and disagree, on major subjects, you can see how God could get pretty upset at that, and not be happy with his people, and not bestow blessings on them, you know. And that's not saying that little things in church, you know, we talk about like post-trib and premillennialism and stuff like that. That's little minor things, but we have to make sure that we have the same. We have to come together as a church to have the same foundations in Christ. That Christ is a true Son of God, and that he died for our sins to give us salvation through him alone. As a church, we must agree on our purpose for life and work together in unity to glorify God. And God is joyful when his children are together in unity, glorifying him. In verse 2, it is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard of Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. And in this, and then this, it references Moses anointing Aaron and pouring oil on his head, symbolizing God's consecration, his presence, and blessings upon him and Israel. And the visualization of the oil on the head, and, you know, instantly you see how much it is. And when it's kind of symbolizing the abundance of God's blessings, that he's not just giving you a few drops or little blessings here and there, that he, when you come together as a church and in unity, that God's blessings are abundant, and it's just overflowing, going down all over your body. And it actually reminded me of when my mother-in-law, why am I crying? She was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago, and she came up in church and the elders poured oil all over her head. And I remember thinking, I was like, man, that's a lot of oil. That's crazy. And it just really stuck in my head. But they are anointing, they're blessing her abundantly with God's blessings. And it really stuck in my head. And so when I read this passage, it just instantly made me think of that, of how much blessings that God will give to you and how abundant he will give to you when you live in unity with each other. I feel like Alan McCarley up here. You can tell him I said that too. Okay, verse 3. It is as the dew of Hermon were flowing or falling over Mount Zion. Now, reading upon Mount Hermon, it's north of Israel, and it's really known to have high peaks, snow-covered mountains, and lots of meadows, and really covered with dew. And I know Jerusalem, it's higher up, but it's surrounded by deserts, a little bit hotter. And I kind of instantly thought of, you know, Redding, Shasta County, Cottonwood, how hot it is during the summer, and then I thought of the mountains up here and how everything's green, and in the mornings there's dew everywhere. And I thought about, like, in, let's say, in the middle of July, and Cottonwood just like overflowed with dew coming down and nourishing our land and our earth, how amazing and refreshing that would feel. And it would feel like God's blessing coming down upon us when we're in unity. And that's just a really cool visualization of God blessing his people. And that's what David is saying about God's blessings, that it's just like the dew nourishes the earth. Unity refreshes and sustains God's people. The second part of the verse 3 is, there the Lord has commanded the blessings, life forevermore. And when he says there, he's talking about Mount Zion or Jerusalem and where the temple is. And what's the one thing that we've kind of learned about the temple now of where it is? In us. All right, good job. Good job, Carl. You weren't even here for the lessons, and you said that. This went right along. That was awesome. So David says in that in us, the Lord has commanded the blessings of unity. So commanded the blessings, God actively sends blessings of unity. It is not random or something that we have earned, but is a divine promise that God bestowed upon us when we live in unity. Now, to close it out, Jesus in John 17, he's talking to his disciples and the people of God, and he's giving them lessons. And then in 17, 20 through 26, he turns to the heavens and looks upon and starts to pray to God himself. So I'm going to close in this. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray that also those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that we are, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, and that they have me, that may be me one, and we as one, in them and you and me, so that they may have brought to the complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those who have given me to be with them where I am. And I see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, through the world does not know you, or though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that they love you. And you have for me may be in them, and that myself be in them. So that's just, Jesus echoes that we are one with God. You know, to be in unity with God is what God wants, and he wants to give us blessings when we're in unity as a church, as a family. And I do want to say thank you for the elders and the leaders in the church for conveying that message week in and week out, that they stand on Christ's foundation and we stick to that and be in unity with each other. So let's bow our head and pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this weekend. Thank you for your word, Lord. This time of fellowship to be in unity with each other. It's all because of you, and to give you praise and worship, Lord. We just thank you for everything you provided for us. Please just let these baptisms turn towards you, and let these new believers and people that want to be baptized in your name just live a life for you, God. And just, we just thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.